Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyrann Mathieu, who's going to be back in Kansas City this weekend, banging the drum at Arrowhead. Tyrann, I know as a player you saw that maybe during pregame time and time again. So what was that like for you? I guess, how does that work? You just get a phone call from someone with the Chiefs? How does that all play out?
Well, you know, being the Chiefs, I've really always had a pretty good relationship. You know what I mean? And, you know, really since I left too. And, you know, I think that's obviously starts with Clark and, you know, Mark and, you know, definitely Coach Reed and Brett Veach. So, and even Spags. So, I mean, I've been in communication with these guys, you know, for the last couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I guess it's just, you know, having some good relations and, you know, I guess those guys miss me a little bit. They want to see my face, you know?
Yeah, I think, well, I'll be honest, Tyrann, I think some fans missing you as well. We'll get into the performance from the team recently. I know you were part of the YouTube pregame show there as the Chiefs took on the Chargers. Yeah. In Brazil, but do you, now that you're retired, I think it's only been like a month, if I'm not mistaken. I know you were in camp, I think, briefly with the Saints. Even just thinking about the atmosphere Sunday, watching week one of the season, like, did you get the itch already a little bit?
Yeah, man. You know, probably, you know, definitely, man. You know, man, I love football. You know, I love everything about it. And, you know, obviously, probably was a big shocker to a lot of people that know me, because you know, most people that know me probably figured I'd play 18, 20 years. You know what I mean? Yeah, I just felt like it was the right time for me. And to be honest, man, like, you know, I'm ready for my next challenge. You know, I'm ready to see, like, what's out there for me that I can, you know, really just challenge myself. You know, I felt like football, you know, I kind of maxed out, right? Like, I accomplished everything. I played everywhere I wanted to play. You know what I mean? And it could be kind of hard finding that motivation. So I'm just really looking forward to that going forward. Just finding some new motivation and looking forward to a new challenge.
Did you start looking back at, like, you know, like we always ask Andy, like, hey, what did you think of this? He's like, I'll reflect on my career when I'm done with it. Did you spend a little bit of time remembering the time at Kansas City or thinking about your time in New Orleans and reflecting a little bit, I guess, on the career you had?
Yeah, man. You know, really every day, man. You know, and just being grateful, you know, like just being so grateful, man. You know, the way I came into the league and, you know, obviously, you know, coming up under Larry Fitzgerald and Patrick Peterson, I really felt like those two guys played, you know, an important role for me as a youngster. You know, they gave me something to look up to. They gave me something to believe in that was much bigger than myself. And, man, the coaches, too. Like, I think about my coaches and, you know, Bruce Arians and Andy Reid and, you know, Romeo Crennel and Steve Spagnuolo. Like I've literally been coached by some of the best coaches this game has to offer, you know? And, yeah, man, just looking back on that, the relationships, the guys I was able to play with, like, you know, I was on the field with Patrick Mahomes and J.J. Watt, right? Like, two of the greatest players of our time, right? And I just feel so blessed, man, and fortunate that I was able to have those experiences.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned, you know, you're kind of ready for that next challenge. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the show with us right now. I tweeted it out when I was watching it. I thought you crushed it on the YouTube pregame show. Is that next challenge maybe for you? Are you wanting to get into broadcasting more?
Well, you know, I really wanted to kind of take the fall off and just kind of figure out, you know, what's next for me. I think I know. I think most people that know me, they know. Like, at some point, I'll be coaching, right? At some point.
Sure.
But I kind of want to give myself some time, you know, to do that because obviously, man, like, you know, leaving a game, playing 12 years in the NFL, and then going right into coaching, it's probably an even more brutal schedule than it was when I was playing, right? And, you know, I remember some night texting, you know, Dave Merritt and Spags, and, you know, it's like 12:30 at night, and he's still at work, you know? And I just, you know, so I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet, but I think I'll get there, you know, eventually.
What level do you want to coach? NFL? Or are you interested in, like, college or high school? Or, you know, is there a certain level you're being in?
To be honest, I'm not opposed to any of them, really. I think high school, I could probably be more of a benefit to kids, right? trying to push them to the next level. But I know if I take a college or NFL job, you know, just being able to relate to those kids and motivate them and, you know, being able to speak their language, I think that too would probably, you know, just be a good look, you know. But yeah, man, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want to be, you know, somewhere where, you know, culture matters, the people matter, community matters. And so as long as I can kind of get that, I can, you know, I can deal with whatever football brings.
Let's talk about the team on the field. We had played a clip earlier that Gronk was suggesting the idea that if the Chiefs lose to the Eagles, maybe they become more human. People know they can punch him in the mouth. I kind of likened it to, I felt like everyone took the Patriots serious, even during the 10-year run in which they weren't winning Super Bowls. What do you think the mindset is on the Chiefs right now from the other teams in the league? Not TV or radio people, from the other teams in the league right now, knowing their last two games were losing to the Chargers, but I think that lasting image of them losing badly to the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Chiefs have been on top for a while, right? And so, you know, it's going to be a lot of people that kind of magnify, right, the bad things that happened to them and, you know, they try to minimize the great things, right? And so I think the Chiefs are I think they're in a great position because of the people that they have leading the team. And so, you know, obviously Coach Reed and Spags and, you know, Mahomes, right? Like, I think those guys, you know, those guys don't want to lose three games in a row. I can tell you that right now. And so, you know, they're turning over every rock, right? Like, they're going to figure this thing out. And that's one thing I always respected with, you know, my time in Kansas City, right? Because if you can look back, you know, we never really started off that hot, right? Like, we always kind of built ourselves into that as the season went on. So, but yeah, I think the Chiefs are all right, man. Like, I'm not panicking. I know a lot of people. I've been hearing a lot of different things. I thought that was a bad take, you know, by Gronk, right?
Yeah.
You know, because the Chiefs have been physical. They have been a physical team. They have been a great defense, right? Like, they've made those plays in those critical moments. And so, yeah, man, like you know, you just get a bad stretch every now and then, right? But I'd never bet against Patrick or Coach Reed or any of those guys.
We're talking to Tyrann Mathieu here on Cody and Gold. You mentioned where this defense in the past, you know, has built itself up as the season goes, and it looks like that obviously is hopefully going to be the case for Spags. But what did you see as you're watching the game? Is there something that's easier to correct than otherwise? I mean, from a non-player perspective, it seemed like maybe communication and guys were just running into each other. That seems more correctable to me, the non-player, versus maybe some other issues if you think there's any personnel changes down the road. But what did you see specifically from the defense that you think is pretty correctable almost right away for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, it's like do your job, right? And, you know, every game's a big game in Chiefs Kingdom, right? Like, and we all want to make those spectacular plays, and right? But you have to just find a way to do that within a defense, you know? And, you know, if you look back to the game, you know, against the Chargers, right? It wasn't that it was a bad defensive call. Maybe this guy got out of the gap, right? Like, maybe this guy didn't contain on a particular rep that he was supposed to. And so I think with Coach Spags and Coach Reed, like they'll figure that part out. They'll get guys back to just doing your job. And that's all defense is, right? Do your job, right, and make the players that come to you. But don't try to go outside of that and create, like, your own, because then you end up hurting the team. So – but I see those guys fixing that, man. Week one is always like, you know, people want to just kind of like sink the whole season, right? Because it was one game. And, you know, those guys got 16, 17 more games to really figure it out. But, yeah, man, like just do your job. Just do your job, stay in your gap, especially when the game's on the line.
From an outsider's perspective, Tyrann, what's the, like, is there a fine line? What's the difference between how we should view when guys get after each other, right? I liked that Drew Tranquil was telling Chris Jones, you missed your assignment. But obviously there's times where that leads to infighting between it and it's not productive. How can you tell from the outside when telling someone that they're not doing their job right is productive, even if it looks like you're being combative about it, versus like it really is, these two people don't get along and it's a problem?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, like you're going to go through that, right? You know, as captain, as leader, you know, you got to have tough conversations, right? Like, you got to be able to call people out. You got to be able to hold people accountable. But you got to do it in a way that is beneficial, right? Like, I don't want to call you out and then you tank on me, right? Like, I want to call you out and then you raise your level of intensity, you raise your enthusiasm. And so I think it's just those guys kind of just figuring that part out. You know, I think Drew's a great player, right? I think he's a good leader, right? Like he clearly is one of those guys that, you know, leaves it all out on the field. So I think him having, you know, something to say, it's not odd, right? Because he's one of those guys that's, you know, really putting it on the line, you know, each and every play. But you just got to find that fair balance, man. And then you got to know who you're dealing with, right? Like, you know, some guys may be more performative than others when, you know, you're kind of approaching them or, you know, interacting with them.
What do you think this last week has been like? You mentioned the coaches are obviously going to turn over every single stone. But what, like, you've been in that locker room. You've been at those practices, yeah, in that facility. What do you think the mentality and just everything is, like, from the coaches to individual players after what happened last week?
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, nobody's smiling, right? Like everything's serious. You know, I think the intensity, you know, probably is to the roof, right? Like, everything matters, right? And that's the thing about playing sports, man. Like, we don't get to pick what details matter. They all matter, right? And so it's just about getting your guys to buy into that and believe in that. And it's always hard, too. Like, we can't like, understate that, right? Like, it's hard going to the Super Bowl, right? Like, and just, you know, like, having that letdown, right? And then guys coming back, like, probably going to still have some residue from that game, man. But man, you just got to keep chipping away, you know, each and every day, just keep chipping away at it.
Tyron, I know we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you're banging the drum for the Chiefs come Sunday. If they need you at halftime, you still willing to put on a uniform, or what's up?
Yeah, man, I definitely can definitely go out there and maybe play like a little 2-minute drill or third. Definitely could play third down for sure.
There you go, third down.
Yeah,
just get a couple of snaps, and you don't want to be running
all. Just put me in the game when they're throwing the ball.
yeah, I'm sure you'd love that. You got the family coming in for this and everything?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's gonna be a big deal, man. Obviously, you know, my kids are excited, right? Like, we're all excited to you know, be back in Arrowhead and be back in front of fans, man. Like, I tell people, bro, like, I've been blessed, man. I played at LSU, I played at Tiger Stadium, right? Like, I played in the Superdome, right? Like, but man, it's nothing quite like Arrowhead, you know. And so it's gonna be fun to be back home and just see everybody, right? Like, and hopefully, man, like, I can kind of inspire those guys. Hopefully, I can give those guys some enthusiasm, some extra juice, you know, before this game, because it is a big game. You know, I think we definitely need to win this game to really, you know, show people that, hey, you know, we had a few hiccups, but, you know, like we're okay. We're still the Chiefs.
Tyron Matthew, always great to talk to you, man. Congrats on the honor coming up on Sunday. And, yeah, I know you'll get everybody fired up at Arrowhead.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it, fellas.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.